Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is first canto, chapter 5. Narada's instructions on the Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. And today's text is 31. Just as a reminder, Subhas Prabhu had established a standard way for doing the Bhagavatam class, and some of our speakers have been drifting away from that. And that standard is when we come to recite the verse, we do each word individually from the verse itself, not from the synonyms, because the synonyms and the verse on the board sometimes differ. So we recite each word from the verse that's on the screen. Then we do the verse responsibly three times, and then we proceed. Some speakers have been doing only one time, and they don't do the individual words, so it has become kind of a do-what-you-want kind of situation. We would like to re-standardize. Everybody should do it the same way. Each word individually from the verse, not from the synonyms, and then you recite the verse three times responsibly. So, yenayavaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gashanti tatpadam yenayavaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam yenaivaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam yenaivaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam. Please chant. Vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam yenaivaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam yenaivaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam yenaivaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam vaishne yenaivaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tatpadam vaishne means synonyms, yena, by which, eva, Certainly. If aham I, Bhagavataha, of the personality of Godhead, Vasudevasya, of Lord Sri Krishna, Vedasaha, of the Supreme Creator, Maya, energy, Anubhavam, influence, Avidam, easily understood, Yena, by which, Gashanti, they go, Tatpadam, at the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. Please repeat. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. Srila Prabhupada's very, very nice purport for this verse. By devotional service or by the most confidential knowledge, one can understand very easily how the different energies of the Lord are working. One part of energy is manifesting the material world. The other, superior part of his energy, is manifesting the spiritual world. And the via medium energy is manifesting the living entities who are serving either of the above mentioned energies. The living entities serving material energy are struggling hard for existence and happiness, which is presented to them as illusion. But those in the spiritual energy are placed under the direct service of the Lord in eternal life, complete knowledge, and perpetual bliss. The Lord desires, as he has directly said in the Bhagavad Gita, that all conditioned souls rotting in the kingdom of material energy come back to him by giving up all engagements in the material world. This is the most confidential part of knowledge, but this can be understood only by the pure devotees. And only such devotees enter the kingdom of God to see him personally and serve him personally. The concrete example is Narada himself, who attained this stage of eternal knowledge and eternal bliss. And the ways and means are open to all, provided one agrees to follow in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni. According to Shruti, the Supreme Lord has unlimited energies without effort by him, and these are described under three principal headings, as above mentioned. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacya Deshatarine Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanbutam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savanutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanbutangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripre Vancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhumevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So who's speaking here? Narada Muni, yes. So, since Narada is speaking, we should give our undivided attention to what Narada Muni has to say. So, he starts out by saying, what is the first verse, word of the verse today? You recited it so many times. Okay. Are you looking or are you remembered? This is something that Prahladananda Swami does when we travel together. Whenever he gives class, he always asks, what's the first word of the verse? And it's amazing. After chanting it 10, 12 times, most of the bodies don't know. See, that means we're not listening. We're not allowing the sound vibration to penetrate. It shows how thick the upamata, as Prabhupada would say, the cow dung between the ears is very thick when we're in material consciousness. We're not allowing the sound vibration to penetrate. But this is what Bhagavatam class is all about. Allowing the transcendental sound vibration to penetrate that thick substance in here. To get in there. And we should let it vibrate and bounce around and think about it all day. We study one verse usually each day. So for the rest of the day, meditate on that verse. So you're ready for the next day, for the next verse. Anticipating what's coming. Even though we know, most of us have read the Bhagavatam. How many have read the Bhagavatam cover to cover from first canto to 12th canto? Quite a few. And so many of us have been through the Srimad Bhagavatam many times, actually. Some of the older devotees. But again, we don't allow this vibration to stick. It's meant to stick. Meant to prompt us. To awaken us, Jeev Jago. So Narad Muni is fully awake. And he's recounting his from his own experience, speaking to his disciple Vyasadeva. And there's a goal in mind to get him to do something. And that something is to glorify Krishna. So we can all pick up on that. We can all pick up on that end. The end of this discussion, the result that Narad Muni wants to see is that Srila Vyasadeva should fully describe the glories of Lord Krishna. So, can we do that? How can we fully describe the glories of Lord Krishna? By repeating what we've heard in the cyclic succession from those who are already practiced at glorifying the Lord. It's very simple. We don't have to manufacture anything. And therefore, we don't take any credit. Gauranga Premaprabhu was speaking very nicely about what motivates him to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And that motivation is that we know the content of the book, whatever is between those two covers, is extremely valuable. And if somebody would simply take the book and read it, even one line or even one word, as Sura likes to remind us, soon they'll be living in a temple eating sabji with curd. That's the result of reading Prabhupada's books. It's a call to action. Many of us, myself included, had dabbled in esoteric literature up to and including Bhagavad Gita before we became devotees. But there was no call to action in those other English versions of the Bhagavad Gita. Nobody was pushing us to become devotees of Krishna. But as soon as you get even one pamphlet, like I did, Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure, anything written by a pure devotee, then immediately you have that call to action. You feel that you have to take the next step. So the next step for me was look at the address list and find the New York temple and go there. So there's a prompt to action when you come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord. So Narad Muni is obviously a pure devotee of the Lord, so is Vyasadeva. But still, in the transaction between them, there is a call to action. Fully glorify the Supreme Lord. So again, we can all do that. We've been equipped to do that. We've been asked to do that simply by passing on the message intact. No change. And no credit. We're not looking for credit. Sometimes devotees get into this mood of becoming a preacher. And I keep reminding them. Prabhupada reminds us. I'm preaching, you're assisting me. And if we stay in that mentality, we're assistants to the Jagat Guru preacher, Srila Prabhupada, then we keep ourselves on a level on ground and very well grounded. We don't fly off into space thinking that, you know, we're something that we're not. As I mentioned, Tuesday morning, my mother left Advaitacharya's appearance day, 5 o'clock in the morning. And that was one of her distinguishing features as a person, that she was very well grounded in the moment, always in the moment. And therefore, she had a fantastic memory. She remembered practically everything she did in her life, up until the last stages. She could remember conversations she had 40 years ago, where she was, who was there, what they were wearing. Because she was very grounded in the moment. So it's something, a lesson that we can all learn. Always be grounded in the moment. Don't worry, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, forget the past, it sleeps forever. And trust no future, however pleasant. Stay in the here and now. Stay right now. What's happening right now? What am I hearing right now? What am I seeing right now? What am I smelling right now? What am I tasting right now? You know, if we don't, then we're always looking for more, 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 more. I'm tasting a nice samosa, but I'm wondering where's the next one coming from and what's coming next. And get into that samosa. Really relish it. Our good fortune to be taking Krishna prasadam. Stay in the moment. And I'm speaking to myself, because even though I'm her son, I'm not like that. I was always accused of being a dreamer. You're not here. Come back. Where are you? You're dreaming about something. Come back. So we're like that. And Maya, as Narada Muni is pointing out today, Maya, that's Maya's influence on us. She presents so-called happiness or a chance to gain so-called happiness in this material world. But it's just illusory. It's illusory. And if we allow ourselves to be grounded in the moment, we can see clearly. As he says here, he was able to see clearly the influence of the Lord's illusory energy. And if we hear and retain what we hear, and then we also get that ability to clearly see what Maya is up to. How she's dangling that carrot, like the donkey with the carrot in front, working hard, thinking, I'm just one more step, I'll get that carrot, one more step. And he just keeps carrying heavy loads all day, not getting that reward. So if we allow ourselves to be grounded in the moment and hear clearly from the acharyas, then we also get this ability to see the influence of Maya, and we are not tricked. As we say in our country, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But Maya is fooling us unlimited times. And she's not bringing anything new to the game when you think about it. It's the same old stuff. Wealth, sense gratification, prestige. She's bringing the same package, just putting a different wrapper on it. So when we're in animal life, we're chasing after, that's all. We don't have any clue beyond that. In human life, we're supposed to get at least some idea of spiritual knowledge, religious practice. But again, people couch it in the same Mayic influence. Yes, come to my church and pray to God under my direction, and you will get bounty like anything. You will be as rich as you want to be. Just come to my church and put at least $30 every time. You know, put some money in the coffers every time you come, and you will get back unlimited return. Like that. Same thing that Maya is dangling. Money, influence, prestige, wealth, sense gratification. Maya is giving the same package. Therefore, Prabhupada said earlier in the Bhagavatam, second chapter of this canto, that we should not be surprised when even advanced devotees fall victim to this. Because since time immemorial, in the mature world, we've been chasing after wealth and sense gratification. So, it's not so easy to get out of this Mayic influence. Krishna himself says it in the Bhagavad Gita, Devayesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. It's extremely difficult to come out from Maya's influence. You cannot do it on your own. Only somebody who is beyond the influence of Maya, beyond the three modes of material nature, like our acharyas, can pull us out. Pull us out. Can tell us what to do and what not to do in order to come to the point, as it's stated here today, where you can return to Krishna and see him and serve him personally. And we should all want to do that. And that's another thing. If we're grounded in the moment, we realize clearly that, yes, I am simply a service vehicle. That's what I am. At every moment, I have to render some service, either to my own concocted ideas or to some friend or family member or the government. Or so Prabhupada used to say, yes, yes, you have to serve. So why not intelligently figure out where to give your service to get the best return? What is the best return I can get from my service energy? And that is stated here, to see Krishna personally and serve him personally. There is no higher gain than that. So that should motivate us. That should motivate us. And if we're hearing clearly the message of the acharyas and we're allowing ourselves to be grounded in the moment, at every moment, and this is rabbinical life. A Brahmin at every moment wants to be guided by the Shastra. What to do? It is now noon. What is my duty? Sit, wash the hand, wash the feet, wash the mouth, sit down, chant my Gayatri. Then what should I do next? And next and next. The Brahmana is guided at every moment by the Shastra, what to do and what not to do. And then the Brahmana, since he knows what to do and what not to do, can guide the administrators what to do and what not to do, the Kshatriyas. And then they give protection and see to the welfare of society. But because there are no real brahmanas guiding the administrators today all around the world, then there's chaos. There's havoc. They don't know what to do and what not to do. So whatever they dream up, they do. And then a few moments later, they reverse the very same thing that they did, or that their predecessor did. And there's just no standard, Prabhupada used to say. This is a problem with Western so-called civilization. There's no standard. No standard of knowledge, no standard of education, no standard of behavior, no standard of marriage, no standard of bathing, no standard of anything. Everything is just willy-nilly, whatever you feel like doing or not doing. And if we have chaos, and people are not satisfied. If we were happy in that chaotic condition, okay, all right, so it's worth it. But we're not happy. Because when my chaotic life bumps up against your chaotic life, then we fight. I want to do this, and you don't want me to do it. You want to do that, I don't want you to do it. And as individuals, as nations, and it's simply just clashing, and we have the mess that we have today. So Narad Muni is showing clearly, and his mood is twofold. He's fully cognizant of what he went through. He remembers clearly, and therefore he can pass on those instructions clearly. And he's grateful. He's grateful to those Vedantas, those real Vedantas, the Bhakti Vedantas. He's very grateful to them for having given him the mercy, having taken the time, even though he was a small boy. And generally speaking, small boys are, you know, you tolerate them. Because again, they don't have any standard of behavior. They yell when they want to yell. They do whatever they want to do. Usually, we tolerate small boys. They're not necessarily the best company. You tolerate them. But he was well-behaved, as he himself said. He was well-behaved, and under the instruction of his mother, he served these Bhaktivedantas, and they were merciful to him. How were they merciful? Not giving him a lollipop or, you know, just a pat on the head. They allowed him to take the remnants of their food, and they instructed him. They gave him very clear instructions, which he followed after they left. When the rainy season was over and they departed on their way, he followed their instructions. So much so that when his mother died from a snake bite, even though he was a young boy, he remembered those instructions and he followed them, went into the forest, meditated like that, and got the result of seeing Krishna personally. And only one time for that life, but after leaving the body, which he will describe, how he left his body, which is also very instructive for all of us, because like myself, when the father is gone, the mother is gone, that means, I don't have Niranjara's bell, but ding, 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 ding. It means, wake up, your turn is coming. Or as we've learned in literature, ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. So, in the Vedic culture, there's something called Smashan Vairagya. Smashan is the crematory, the burning ghat. So when the mother dies, the father dies, they take the body down to the burning ghat, and they have some ceremony, and the fire is lit. And at that point, everybody becomes serious. Oh, life is passing. I better get serious about that. But then within a few days, it's back to business as usual. Well, we're not meant to be like that. The passing of our parents, anybody's passing, we can see clearly in every species of life, up to and including human beings, everybody is dying. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti yamalayam. This is the verse recited by Yudhishthira. When the yaksha asked him, what is the most wonderful thing? He said, ahani ahani bhutani gacchantiya yamalayam. Ahani ahani means day after day, every day, on a daily basis. Gacchantiya yamalayam. All living entities, so many living entities are going to the abode of Yamaraj, which means they're dying. Ahani ahani bhutani, living entities, gacchantiya yamalayam. But what's so wonderful about that? Shesha stavara icchanti. Kim Acharya Atakpuram. Shesha Stavara, those who remain behind, in other words, they're still alive. Shesha Stavara Ichanti, they're simply trying to follow their material desires to get this, do that, go here, go there. And therefore, Yudhishthira said, Kim, what? Acharya, wonderful. What could be more wonderful than that? What could be more amazing than that? That we have daily experience of death. Everybody's dying. Nobody's going to get out of here alive. And still, we keep just making materialistic plans to get more of this and that and buy this, buy that. Click that buy button on Amazon and it just delivers to you. Nowadays, it's so easy. You don't even have to go to the store anymore. You just sit down at your iPad or your computer. You just click that buy button and within a day or two, knock on your door, whatever you bought is there. So that's very heady. You know, people get compulsive shopping. I can buy anything from anywhere in the world practically and it's delivered. Recently, I bought a used lens from somebody in Switzerland and it was here in like 5 days. So, like that, it becomes a little bit addictive, but that's not the goal of life, just to buy anything and everything on the internet. We are all meant, again, to wake up, especially when your parents are gone, no matter what age. Like at Narad Muni's case, his mother died when he was a boy, and he didn't even know his father. He had no idea who his father was. He was living with his mother, who was a maidservant. She goes out in the field. She gets bitten by a snake. She dies. Now he's left alone in the world. But because he had been instructed and had taken those instructions to heart, he was gone. He didn't stick around to, you know, try to make fame and fortune. No, he was gone. Okay, I have no more attachments. I'm off for spiritual realization. So that's what we're all supposed to do. The bhakti process is so nice that one does not have to run off to the forest. One can make nice advancement in bhakti yoga wherever you are, from whatever condition you're in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever condition you're in, just like Narad Muni spoke nice verse earlier on, Nadidang ipungsa tapasak shutasyava shustasya suktasya chaburi datayo abhichwaratak kavibirna rupato yat uttama shloka gunanavarnanam. That the infallible conclusion of learned circles is that everything that we do, inamipungsak tapasa, our whatever renunciation of, that we practice, tapashutasya, our learning of Vedas or whatever knowledge we're learning, shutasyava, shristasya, sacrifice, anything that we do, the real aim of that should be to glorify Krishna. That's it. So we can do that. One student just sent me a long list of questions for a paper that they're writing. So they're asking, why the emphasis on art? So I wrote back that because we're not yet on the platform where we can see the spiritual world, and these are windows to the spiritual world. The artist's very nicely on the proper direction, painting all these nice paintings, so we can see Krishna's pastime with Arjuna on the chariot, Krishna's Gopal, like that. All we can see. But it's not only art. Music, whatever talent we have, Krishna says, I'm the ability in man. Where does Krishna say that? What is the verse? Yes? Rasoham apsakanteya prabhasmi sachishurya pranavak sarvavedeshu shabdake purusham nrishu. I am the ability in man, Krishna says. So whatever ability we have, we can use in Krishna's service. We have our bhakti original here. He's a licensed truck driver. So at one time the BBT used to own a semi. Remember, Brigu? Subhas? BBT right here in LA. We used to own a semi truck so that one devotee used to drive cross country delivering books to all the temples. So whatever ability we have to drive, to cook, art, whatever we have, can be used in Krishna service. That's the whole point. Bhakti. Bhakti is so nice that one does not have to give up everything and simply sit down and read scripture all day. No, whatever ability you have, as an administrator, as a driver, as an actor, I've been reminding the devotees who put on plays periodically here, why not every Sunday? Or at least every festival. That's the way it used to be back in the 70s. Every major festival, there was a big drama. Like this weekend we have appearance of Lord Varaha, and then we have appearance of Lord Nityananda. There should be some skits prepared. Somebody can be Varaha picking up the Earth planet. You know, and when, because we're living in a very visual age. People are very much influenced by what they see on TV, in the movies, on the street. Very visually oriented. So we have the means, and we have the prompting of our predecessor Acharya to do this, to present the philosophy in a dramatic way so people remember. They'll remember. They come to the Sunday feast and you put on a little drama, 5 minutes, 10 minutes skit to drive home a particular philosophical point. And they'll remember. They'll go away remembering. Wow, that was so nice. The way this big hog came roaring out of the water carrying the earth planet like that. Or some skit about Lord Nityananda. Maybe the Jagai Madai pastime. We have the painting here. Something. So in this way, all our ability can be used in Christian service. Narada Muni is recalling with gratitude and clarity the information that was given to him by the Bhaktivedantas. And we have our Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is very clearly, this is Prabhupada's contribution to humanity, he's very clearly taking the difficult subject matter of Vedic knowledge and presented it so clearly in his books that even a high school dropout can understand if they just simply go through systematically. And of course, guided by more advanced devotees, but anyone can understand. And if you're so dense that you can't remember anything, can't grasp these philosophical points, just remember three words: Hare Krishna Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Brigupati Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your usual wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
Sorry to hear about your mother. And the poor, poor Prabhupada says, the living entity serving material energy is struggling hard for existence, and the happiness which is presented to them is illusory. And you nicely elaborated upon that in your class. My question is this, that the treatment that the living entities are getting from the material energy, Is there a motive for reformation there? Like in one of the earlier purports, Prabhupada was saying that devotees are reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord Himself. So my question is that, what about the non-devotees? Are they being reformed by the bad karma, whatever they're experiencing, the reactions they're getting in the material energy? Or is it just like tough luck as opposed to tough love? You know, devotees are getting tough love from Krishna. Are the karmas just getting tough luck? Or is it something like, remember when we were in school, they had the SPs? You know, so it's like, you know, a devotee's in the fast lane and the karmas are in the slow lane, but it's the same program, you know, or is it just punishment or reward?
Well, you're using a catch-all phrase there, karmas. Sometimes devotees object. Why do we call people karmas?
Non-devotees, okay.
All right, so yeah, because non-devotees fall into different categories. The general purpose of this material world is for reprobation. But not everybody sees that. The living entity, no matter how far they fall, and that was another question the student asked me on their questionnaire, what is the farthest you can go down in reincarnation? So let's say you fall down all the way to being a germ. There's a progressive march back up to the human. Now, when you take birth in human society, if human society is being run properly, if human culture is being run properly, then inevitably you're going to come across some spiritual, some religious information that will at least get you started on the path of what human life, what life in the material world is actually meant for, which is, again, to reawaken for your awareness of God, to reawaken your love for God. So at least, even if you fall to the lowest point you can in material existence, gradually, gradually, by material arrangement, you'll come back up to the human platform. And if you're fortunate enough to take birth at a time, let's say, in one of the other ages, it's very prominent what one should do with life, whether you take birth in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga. But even in the Kali Yuga, the worst of ages, by the Lord's arrangement, by Lord Chaitanya's arrangement especially, there are devotees here and they're spreading this message of love of Godhead. And that's all we are meant to do as devotees, to take that message up. Last night I was with the Harinam in Santa Monica, and one really heavy set middle aged guy was zooming by. He goes, "I love you people." So I wanted to ask him why, but he was going so fast. But he just couldn't help himself. He was going by, and the boys were chanting, dancing, jumping up and down, and he just blurted out, "I love you people." So that's what we're meant to do. Just go out in society. Some of them will love us, and some will say, "Get out of here, cover the ears." But it doesn't matter. Either way, the influence of the holy name is there. And that is the beauty of the age of Kali, is that the holy name is the deliverer of everyone. It will give the highest benefit. And we are supposed to just carry that holy name out to society in the form of books, in the form of chanting on the street. And we have to go on with this chanting on the street. In some quarters of our society, some people are questioning, that was so 60s, 70s, do we still have to go? Yes, you have to go out there. dressed like devotees with the shaven heads and the tilak and the instruments, the kartels and the drums. It gets the message out there in a very visual way. And people, again, are very visually oriented. When they see us, they remember. These are the Hare Krishnas and this is their message. But also through the books. The books are the Brihad Mridanga. Prabhupada said the small Mridanga they'll hear for a couple of blocks. But the big Mridanga, the books that we take out there, those that vibration travels all around the world. One book can deliver so many people. Just one book. As happened in early days in Russia. They would get one copy of the Bhagavad Gita and they would hand copy it. And one person would hand copy it and give it to another person and they would hand copy it. One book literally would deliver thousands and thousands of devotees. All right, one more. It's getting late. Sachinanda Prabhu, and then there we go.
Thanks for taking my question. Prabhu, could you just clarify, because I can appreciate your point about being in the moment and being, what was it, grounded in the moment? So I can really appreciate that point. But then you also said you were accused of, you're a dreamer. But we have to have dreams. We have to look towards the future. We can't just always be in the present moment. So, because we have to plan for the future ourselves, you know, we're possibly, you know, we have dreams. I mean, I have dreams.
Yeah, but
so
dreaming and planning doesn't mean changing the game plan. The game plan has already been given. What we're supposed to do as individuals and what we're supposed to give to society. That's already mapped out. Now, how to execute it may vary from locality to locality, time, place, and circumstance, but the game plan is already there. We just have to plug in. And again, we don't have to plug in the moon of being big, big devotees or big, big preachers or big, big... Just plug in. Whatever the authorities ask you to do, you do it. Somebody, Sewer made that point very strongly recently about Prabhupada saying that if you want to please Krishna, then you please your local authorities. And somebody actually wrote a long email. Like, this person writes to me practically every day. They're on the East Coast, but every day they watch the class here, and every day they write me a long email about something. So this person wrote, I can't go along with that because of this reason, that reason, that reason. But the understanding is this. Yes, you have to be aware. Following your authority doesn't mean that you do any silly or dumb thing that the authority asks you to do or anything to break the principles or anything like that. But if you're part of a community and if the temple authorities ask you to do something that's bona fide, let's say you're a pot washer, and they say, today I want you to stop washing pots and go out and distribute books. Why object? Just do it. Or vice versa. Let's say you're number one book distributor, but for some reason administrators say, we need you to become an administrator for some time or become a pujari for some, whatever, just do it. In other words, everybody has to have an authority. If you don't have an authority, that means your own mind is your authority, and the end result is guaranteed. You're coming back to this material world. Because if your mind is materially contaminated and you're following your own mind, you're coming back to this material world. You're not getting out of here. There's a good chance if you follow the authority, who's following his or her authority going all the way back to Krishna, there's a good chance that you will get out of here. But if you again designate your own mind as your authority, whatever feels good to me or makes sense to me or you're practically going to guarantee you're coming back here. So as devotees, everybody has to have an authority. And if your authority is asking us to do something that's not against the principles, that's not against Prabhupada's program, then why not do it? But no, we want to be our own authority again. I want to do this. It's devotional service after all. You know, whatever I want to do. It is devotional. Yeah, it may be devotional service. But Prabhupada gives the example of a father who is being massaged by a son. So the son is massaging very nicely the right leg, and the father is now indicating, I want you to massage my left leg. But no, you become attached to massaging the right leg only. So it's service, but it's not the best service. The best service is to do what the authority wants you to do, in this case the father. I want you to stop massaging the right leg and massage the left leg. So do it. Why come up with some objection? Oh, I'm more comfortable over here massaging that. I don't want to move over there. You come up with so many reasons. But what that means is that we don't have faith in Krishna. Krishna, as Prabhupada said just before he left this world, is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. Which means Krishna is also in control of the authorities that you may be afraid of. He's ultimately in control of them. So if you're afraid this authority is not completely pure, they're not like that, Krishna is in control of them. Whether they're pure or not pure, he's in control of them. And he knows you, and he knows exactly what you need to progress. So if through the authorities Krishna wants you to do something, do it. Why not do it? Why come up with some objection just because you have some, you know, agenda of your own? That's not acceptable. It's a process of surrender. So if we only surrender to our own mind and we have not surrendered. Surrender means surrendering to authority and leaving it up to Krishna, but staying aware. Like I said, stay in the moment. So if the authority goes off and asks you to do something really strange, like offer me to the deities, and immediately you say no. No, that's not part of Prabhupada's program. That's not part of Bhakti Yoga. We will not offer meat to the deities. Sorry. So you have to stay aware and alert, yes. But if what is being asked of you is completely in line with Prabhupada's program, then why not do it? Why? If I'm a temple cleaner, and now the temple president says, you've done such a nice job cleaning for the last 6 months, now I want you to go out and distribute books at Venice Beach. Why not do it? Why object? Jai. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.